You are listening to Standing in the Gap. If you would like more information, please visit us online at www.westendbsg.org. Thank you for listening and enjoy today's episode.
You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
All right, welcome to another episode of Standing in the Gap. I'm your host, Pastor Josh Tompkins, and today we have a breaking news edition to our podcast. This will be the first time that we've done something like this, but occasionally when an event takes place in the world, I'd like to get on here and just share some thoughts about what's taking place. So that's kind of the plan for today. And I believe everybody that's listening will know about the nonsense that occurred in Charlottesville this past weekend. So I won't really be breaking any news. I'll just be commenting on that news. But for those of you that lived under a rock, here's a little bit of a rundown of what happened. And this is just a little synopsis, a summary of it. But there was a radical group of what they call alt-right white supremacists that were holding a rally in a park in Charlottesville. And I believe they were having this rally in response to the possible tearing down of a Confederate statue or something like that. So as they were planning this rally or embarking upon this rally, there was another radical group of people showed up to oppose or protest this rally. So now, with two extremely angry and opposing groups of radicals gathering in the same place at the same time, what do you think would happen? Do you think they're going to sit there and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and roast marshmallows on a bonfire? That's probably not going to happen. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that this isn't going to end up good. But apparently there's not too many geniuses around. So as anyone would expect, it was ugly at the start, and it ended not so much ugly as it did tragically. I think there was 19 hurt badly and one killed in an ugly car ramming incident. Two cops were killed in a helicopter crash. There's many others hurt and bleeding from the fighting that took place. And not to mention, basically the entire nation in an uproar over what happened there. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's tweeting about it and Facebooking about it. Opinions are flying around like crazy. Last Saturday night, I saw that pastors were encouraged to forego their regular preaching schedule on Sunday, and everybody was saying that pastors need to stand up and speak out about race and anger in Charlottesville. And I'm sure many pastors did, maybe several churches did, I don't know, maybe yours did, but I didn't. I refuse to preach cultural issues every time something bad happens, because something bad is always going to be happening, and we'd be doing it every week. And we don't preach the news, we preach the good news. Stick with what we know and what we are supposed to be doing. So that's what I did on Sunday, but that's not what I'm going to do today. Just because I was silent on Sunday doesn't mean I'm going to be silent today. See, I've heard all the opinions, I've heard all the statements, all the comedians. They're nothing but clowns trying to tell us what to think. I've heard all the news commentators, all the politicians, all the celebrities, all the brainwashed college kids that are doing nothing but parroting what they hear on TV. I've heard all that junk. And I believe that somebody, anybody, I guess I'll stand up and do it, needs to speak some truth into this mess. I believe that we need to hear from God in this. We don't need another pointless, ignorant, knee-jerk reaction, which seems to be all that we're getting right now, which is maybe why it's taken me 5 days to get here, because I don't want my reaction to be ignorant. I don't want it to be knee-jerk. I want a biblical, wise, well-thought-out viewpoint on this. So that's what I want to try to do today. And just a couple of disclaimers before I get started. I don't think I have any haters that listen to my podcast. That would be odd if somebody that disagreed with me looked up the podcast to listen to it. That'd be like me watching CNN. But anyway, here's just a couple disclaimers for you. I am not a Fox News or CNN host, so I don't plan to be fair and balanced, and I have no desire whatsoever to be politically correct. My only desire here is to be faithful and to be biblically correct. And honestly, if you don't like what's said, you can take it up with God, or you can find a stop button on your computer or your phone. They're real easy to find, and you can press it. I'm not a news commentator, and I'm not trying to please or appease any group of people. I'm only here to please and appease God. And second disclaimer, I'm doing this mainly for my church. It's my job to shepherd my church. And a big part of shepherding them is helping them to think biblically through issues and events and circumstances that come up in their lives. Whether that be a sickness or a death or money or this foolishness that's taking place in our country. So that's where I'm coming from. So let's get into it. So as I watched the news on Saturday, I saw Nazi flags, KKK hats, I saw torches, Nazi salutes, and chants that nobody should ever repeat. It was all in broad daylight, all on a college campus and on national TV. And that, I usually don't get surprised by things, but that surprised me. Because they used to do this stuff. I know it happened in the past, and they used to do it at night with hoods on so nobody knew who they were. It's like they used to be ashamed, and they should be ashamed. But here they're openly flaunting these horrific views and spouting these awful taunts. So as I watched this mess unfolding on the TV in front of me, a few things came to my mind. I'm going to give you a couple of observations here. My first thought was, this is hateful. And I want you to understand that word. It's hate and it's full. It's full of hate. That's what those people were. As you look at that on TV, you're seeing a people whose lives are full of hate. This was pure, unadulterated hatred. It was hate-filled, wicked, murderous depravity, unspeakable evil. It was sickening to watch how full of hate and anger and hostility these people were. To me, it was like the bottom of the barrel of sin. To me, it was like Romans 1 on TV. It was open rebellion to God and hatred for the people that God has created. And let me go ahead and state that here, just as a sidebar. Hatred is antithetical to the Christian faith. You cannot claim to be a Christian. You cannot claim to be a Christian and at the same time embrace a hate-filled lifestyle. It's impossible. My second observation was, this is incredibly prideful. It's one thing to hate somebody or to hate a people group. It's another thing to do so because you think you or your race is superior to that other race. That's just full of pride. These white supremacists and Nazis actually think they're better than other races. It takes an extremely prideful person to put themselves so high up on a pedestal like that and then to openly shout to the world, we are better than they are. So let me state this here. There's only one race of people, and it's called the human race. The pigment of our skin does not make us any better or any worse than anyone else. The nationality or heritage of a person does not make anyone any better than anyone else. To think so is to deny our Creator who made us all in His image. So racism is wrong, and racism is sinful. As Christians, we only see one difference in the human race. And that's those who are lost and those who are saved. That's it. There are those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. One is still in the fallen race of Adam. They are unregenerate and unsaved, which is obvious that the people in these crowds on Saturday were in the race of Adam, unregenerate, unsaved. And there's the other under Christ, the redeemed race, born again and saved. And as Christians, we love and worship with those who are redeemed, and we love and share the gospel with those who are not. And there's no pride in that. Now, my next observation I made was this. Not only was it hateful and prideful, it was also sinful. What I saw on the TV screens happening in Charlottesville was a perfect picture of who we really are. It was open and right before our eyes. This was and is humanity. The commentators on TV kept saying, this isn't who we are as humans. This isn't who we are. This isn't who we are. Well, then they would turn around and say, this isn't who we are as Americans. Americans aren't like this. That's not us. And I kept wanting to correct them because that's just bad theology and it's bad history because that is who we are. This is who we are as humans. We are naturally born to hate. Everyone born of Adam has inherited his sin nature, and it's a nature that hates God and hates each other. Evidence of this, very early on, it was Cain who hatefully killed his brother Abel. It was the Jews who hated the inbred Moabites. It was the Jews who hated the half-breed Samaritans. It was the Jews who hated the Gentiles. It was Jonah who hated the Ninevites. He hated them so much that he spent 3 days in a well thinking about it. Well, or go reach the Ninevites? You see how bad he hated them? We can go even further into history. You can go into the mid-1500s, Catholics hating the Jews. 1900s, Nazis hating the Jews. Even today in Jerusalem, you'll see that there's a constant hatred between the Muslims and the Jews. Can you imagine living there? Constant hatred back and forth. Bombing and shootings going on all the time. Hatred is who we are as humans. So when people say this isn't who we are, we need to remind them that this is exactly who we are. We are a hateful people naturally. Nelson Mandela may say, love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. But the Bible makes it perfectly clear we are naturally born to hate, and it takes a supernatural work of God in our hearts for us to truly love. That is who we are, and we saw it right before our eyes. Most people try and hide stuff like this, but the only difference now is it was out in the open. It was out of the closet, hatred. That's who we are as humans. It's who we've been since the fall. We live in a Genesis 3 world, so this should not surprise any of us. Hatred abounds. And this is exactly who we are as Americans. We are a nation born and raised in hatred. Racism was mainstream in America just a few decades ago. America's full of it now. Look around. We hate the opposing political party. I've never seen so much hate between the Republicans and the Democrats. We hate the Russians. We've hated on Indians since our country began. 60% of Americans hate Trump. And boy, do they hate Trump. We hate anyone with an opposing or an unpopular viewpoint. Christians are hated for their biblical stance on homosexuality. And as Americans, we hate babies. That's a hard statement to say. I tried to make it where it didn't have we, where it wasn't me. But I live in America, and as Americans, we have legalized abortion. That's hatred of the unborn. If you're listening to this and you denounce all forms of racism or hatred, but you won't speak out about the killing of innocent babies in the womb, if you go on the TV and you're denouncing racism, but you are for killing a baby, I'll say this, and you can press the stop button if you don't like it, you are a hypocrite. Politicians standing up saying, we denounce all forms of hatred, but you allow abortion to be legal and give money to Planned Parenthood. You are a hypocrite. I'm wondering where all the protesters are that will pull down Planned Parenthood buildings while cops watch and CNN praises. We won't see that. We won't hear that, but it's just as evil as racism. It's unbridled. It's unspeakable hatred for babies. And politicians won't speak out about abortion because babies can't vote. But baby killers do vote, and they have tons of money to give to politicians. So America is full of hate, no matter how you want to twist it. This is who we are. And not only are we full of hate, we're full of pride. It's who we are. America's the most prideful nation in the history of the world. Americans are proud of the fact that we think we're better than every other nation in the world. Other countries look at us and roll their eyes at how full of ourselves we are. I think if you got down to it, it's not so much a racism problem in America, it's an American supremacy problem we have. We think we're better than everybody. Watch us on July 4th. Listen to our politicians talk about how we are the greatest nation in the history of the world. Listen to how they talk about our military and our values and our work ethic in comparison to other nations. And we are a great nation, but we know it, and we like to pass that around. Watch us take our values to other countries. We go into other countries and take them over with military force, all to make them like us. We think every refugee and immigrant ought to come here because we're better than where they're from. We're so great, we're so superior than every other nation in the world. And in reality, we are a great nation, but we are so full of ourselves. So yeah, it is who we are. We are a nation full of hate. We are a nation full of pride. We're a nation full of sin. Now, I believe we're a nation under the judgment of God. It's in our DNA as humans. It's in our DNA as Americans. It's who we are. And to deny that is to deny reality. So that tells me this wasn't the first time this has happened, and it won't be the last time. This is just who we are right in front of our eyes, and we might as well get used to it. Unless we decide to do something about it. And that's my last point. As I was observing the TV last Saturday, I noticed that it was hateful and prideful. It was sinful. As I sit there, I thought, we need to do something about this. So my last observation was, we need to be helpful. None of us can afford to sit this one out. The Bible tells us that it's our job as Christians to stand in the evil day. I'm going to say that again, just in case you missed it. Some of you already probably pressed the stop button, but anyway. The Bible tells us as Christians that it's our job to stand in the evil day. So we stand in this evil that is coming upon our nation. So you say, what does it mean to stand? What can I do? What can a white man in Southwest Virginia do? What can we do to make a difference, to change this? How can we help? How can we put a stop to this? How can we put a stop to racism and the divide that's in our nation right now? And I know many people that think they're helping. Watch what they do, and you tell me if this helps anything. This is what everybody's doing. They're placing blame. I listen to angry commentators and politicians placing blame all over the place, handing blame. Most of it seemed to be aimed at President Trump, like he caused this hatred, you know, like he caused the pride, like he caused the sin, like he caused the KKK or the white supremacists, like he's the problem. And honestly, these politicians that are placing blame at Donald Trump are doing nothing but using these events to get themselves votes. And we don't even see that. We're so blinded by our own hate that we don't see how they're trying to twist our views to get us to vote for them and give them money. They're not trying to help anybody. None of them are, Republicans or Democrats. They just want our money so they can stay in power. But placing blame on Donald Trump and placing blame on somebody else doesn't help anything. It doesn't change anything. So if placing blame, it doesn't work. Second, they start denouncing. I've never seen so much denouncing in my life. Everybody's been quick to denounce. Clergy denounced, politicians denounced, military leaders denounced. Jimmy Fallon got on his show and denounced. I got on there like, I want to hear a joke. I want to see something funny. And he got on there and denounced. Trump denounced. It wasn't a good enough denounce, so he denounced again. He denounced both sides, both evils. And I think there's fault to be had on both sides. We can fight two evils at once. And listen, there's nothing wrong with denouncing. I'll denounce it here. Everybody else is denouncing. I might as well get in on it too. I denounce white supremacists and Nazis. How easy is that? I'll denounce every sin in the world. But you know what? I can denounce it all I want, but it'll still be there tomorrow. You can denounce whatever you want. It won't change a thing. So you're placing blame won't work. You're denouncing. I like that word, denounce. You're denouncing isn't going to work. So what's next? You know, place blame, denounce. I'll say it one more time, denounce. The next thing I saw him doing was tweeting. Oh, yeah, that's going to change the world. I mean, that's... I saw Obama tweet. He tweeted the sweetest little picture of him with a kid. It's so cute. I bet that stopped those mean racists. I saw others tweet or Facebook, and they was saying some of the meanest, most hateful things I've ever seen. And this from people I know and even some Christians, and I just done air quotes on that one. Getting on social media and expressing their viewpoint. Boy, social media, it'll change the world. No, it'll just show how lost and sinful you are, how hateful and prideful you are by what you post. It ain't changing nothing. So tweeting ain't going to change anything. Denouncing ain't going to change anything. Placing blame's not going to change anything. And here's the worst one. Getting angry won't change a thing. It's absurd how angry everyone is today. We are seriously living in a boiling pot. Any little thing blows the lid off and we're in a hot mess. So honestly, if you've got a boiling pot on your stove, what do you need to do? You need to turn it down. Turn the heat down. We don't need to be so angry. We got people in our culture right now, in our country, on TV, they're just turning it up, making it worse. It's going to blow up in our faces. So we don't need to get angry. That just makes everything worse. It doesn't help anything. Our president needs to dial it down about 30 notches. Our representatives need to get off TV and social media and do the job we paid them to do. I'd rather see them push mowing the White House lawn than giving me another planned statement on TV. The TV commentators, and I'm going to be mean here, they need to get a real job. These aren't journalists. The journalists I grew up watching on TV were in the Iraq War, hiding in bunkers trying to get the real story. These people here aren't in the trenches. They're not braving storms. They're not getting the truth. They're just spouting opinions, wanting to go viral on YouTube. They're not journalists. Get a real job. Quit making everybody so angry. The people on social media need to turn it down a few notches. I mean, I would say this, put down your phones and go outside and play. We need to turn down the anger. Stop with the tweeting. I mean, nobody cares about that. A 21-year-old, 1 year of college opinion. Everybody just needs to chill out, because your anger, your hatred, it doesn't fix a thing. Yes, we condemn the Nazis. Yes, we condemn the white supremacists. Yes, we condemn the injustice that is being done across the board in our nation. Yes, we're working towards equality and justice, but we must not join them in their anger, in their hate, in their sin, and in their pride. That makes us no better than them. So don't get angry. None of that stuff works. It'll never work, because the issue isn't racism. The issue is the heart. And none of these things I just mentioned has the power to change a hateful, prideful, and sinful heart. You can't legislate a new heart. You can't denounce a sinful heart. You can't vote in a new president and change a hateful people. It's impossible. A tweet never changed a heart. This podcast won't change a heart. Your counter-protest won't change a heart. Toppling a statue might break your foot, but it won't change a heart or change history. Comedians' funny jokes won't change a heart. I mean, I think you're getting my point here. These things that we think we're doing that's going to make a difference, it won't change the hate and the pride and the sin that is in people's hearts. Your Facebook post or comment, has it ever changed an opinion? No, it'll never change an opinion, and it'll never change a heart. Your angry rant about President Trump might make you feel better, but it won't change anybody's opinion, and it definitely won't change anybody's heart. So stop with all that. So what do? And again, this is all aimed at Christians, people in my church. What do we do? Here's what we do. It's really simple. I like to keep things simple. We love people. That's what we do as Christians. We love people. We love across the board. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. We love people. Everyone that was made in the image of God, we love them. We may not accept or agree with their actions. We do not condone their sin, but we love them. We love our neighbors. We love our enemies. We love those who hate us and say all kinds of evil things about us, because that's our job. That's our duty. That's a command from God to love. And to be honest with you, only Christians can truly love like God says to love. So we love. And then we pray. The most politically relevant thing we can do is pray. This is the difference maker. I could complain all day long about President Trump, or I could pray for him. You pick one. Which one do you think will make the greatest difference? The Bible says the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. So I could complain, or I could pray. I could complain about the decisions being made in the White House or in the governor's mansion or in Carnes Gym out here in town, or I could pray as God tells me to pray. See, God tells me to love, and God tells me to pray. I pray for their salvation. I pray that they will have the wisdom to make decisions. I pray they'll keep us safe. Pray they'll punish evildoers. Pray they'll be good leaders, because that's what will make a difference. God's word tells us to love. God's word tells us to pray. But we don't just stop there. We also act. And here's the greatest act, and I'm going just about what God tells us as Christians to do in taking a stand in the evil day. We love, we pray, and then we do this. If you want to change the world around you and make it a better place and a more loving place than we already have, there's only one way to do it. We share the gospel. See, it's not complicated. God has clearly stated that He will save people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And it's our job as Christians to go into all the world and to preach that gospel and to make disciples. It's our job to go into the nations. Yes, into the Muslim nations, where Christians are hated. Yes, to go into Russia. Yes, to go into North Korea and Iran. Yes, to go into the cities, and even into the inner cities, and into the hollers, and into the college campuses. And to proclaim to the people the only way of salvation through faith in the finished work of Christ upon the cross. To tell them that to repent, that they need to repent of their pride and their hatred and their sin. To tell them to confess that sin and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. That's our mission. That's what we're sent to do. Yes, we want justice to be done in our world. We want love to rule and not hate. So we take the gospel to the nations. Because we know the gospel is the only thing that can change an ugly heart.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you'd like more information, please visit us online at www.westmbsg.org. We hope you will join us next time for another episode of Standing in the Gap.
You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall.